First of all, I'd like to say good morning and welcome, and thank you for being here. And so we would like to start, so I'd like to call the meeting to order, and if you would please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and please be seated. I'm going to change seats. If you can't see, I'm short and already short, and now I've got the lowest chair in the whole thing. So I'm just going to switch here so I might see over the counter. Please get to the bottom of who gave me the sinky chair. Thank you for that. Okay, we do have a quorum. Director Rice is absent, but we may continue and move on. And so we're going to start with item 2A, and would General Manager Gruber or Mr. Carmel like to share that with us? This was a request during public comment from one of our Cambrians, and it, of course, does concern all of us. It relates to when we see, and we do this time of year, when we see injured deer or a deer that's been killed, we just wanted the number where to call. And while it's not a CSD jurisdictional thing, it's a heart thing. It's an important thing to every Cambrian and anyone that would need to know who to call, because that's what we want to try to do is help at that point. So we do have that here. And as it turns out, it is the County Public Works Department. And I'm going to repeat the number. And so if you have that need, it's the County Public Works Department. And the number is, of course, 805. And it is 781-5252. So I'll repeat that. 805-781-5252. And so it's a good number to have, to kind of have close to the phone or on your cell, I think, certainly any time, but certainly this time of year with so many deer out. Okay. Moving forward then, no other public announcements, acknowledgments. We'll move to public comment. And this will be, of course, because it's a special meeting, public comment then will only be on agenda items. And so we'll take those one at a time, and we'll start then with the consent agenda. Do we have any requests for public comment? Our very able Vice President is also the public comment monitor. Pressure's on. Okay, on 5. Okay, 5A, that's all. All right, so then we can move into the consent agenda. And do we have anything that we want pulled? No items pulled? Going once? Going twice? Okay, we're ready for a motion.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we will approve the consent agenda as submitted. So all those, let's do a quick roll call, please. Yes.
Director Sanders?
Yes.
Director Thompson?
Yes.
Director Barringer?
Yes.
President Robinette?
Yes. Okay, so the consent agenda is approved unanimously. So we will move then to item 5, which is really our business today, the hearings and appeals under item 5, and we do have a request then for public comment. And let's have first Let's go to the item introduction, and that will be General Manager Gruber, and then we'll move to public comment and then board discussion.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll go ahead and introduce it, and then I'll have a District Counsel Tim Carmel go ahead and give a brief explanation of why we're here today. Agenda item 5A is public hearing to consider adoption of Resolution 33-2016, ordering abatement of public nuisance for fire hazard fuel reduction program.
Thank you, members of the board. Several months ago, the fire department sent out notices to abate dangerous weeds and vegetation to about 1,838 parcel owners. Most of those parcel owners complied and did abate their nuisance conditions. Those that didn't are placed on a list, and the district retains a contractor to abate those parcels. We're here today to consider a resolution to order the abatement of those parcels, but more specifically, it's a public hearing and an opportunity to for parcel owners to object or protest to their parcel being on the list. So we recommend that you open the public hearing, consider any protests or objections to a parcel owner's name on the list, make appropriate modifications to the resolution, and then adopt the resolution ordering the abatement of the dangerous weeds and vegetation. Other than that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. I know we have Engineer Maloney in the audience, who's far more skilled at answering these questions than I am, so I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, and Vice President Thompson?
Yes, before we do the public hearing part, could we have the engineer explain the process by which these parcels were inspected, and also I'm curious as to the number. It seems like we've had a lot more this year than we did last, and if we could get some information on why that might have occurred this time.
And I had asked for that also, so great minds. I'm kind of wanting some comparative data, too, if you have it.
Madam President and board members, I think it was last board meeting, or maybe I said casually, that I thought this number was an increase from last year's number, and that was an inaccurate statement. This number is actually down compared to last year. We don't have any more comparative information beyond that. So I think I'm accurate in saying that. Prior to this meeting, I had Monique Madrid, our administrative services officer, look into that number. I may have inadvertently got it confused with another number, but it is down from last year. And the goal of this program really is to try to mitigate as many lots as possible and have compliance. So the amount of enforcement that needs to take place is at a minimum. So I hope that answers your questions, and a lot of numbers dancing through my head lately, so I take blame for that one. So.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. And let's then, with opening the public hearing, go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure, Board Member Thompson, you did want to have an explanation as to the inspection process?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
Right, and Shell, why don't we have that, and then we'll follow that as part of the staff report. We'll consider that, and then we'll actually open the public hearing and consider any public comments or any other communications, protests. So, good morning.
Good
Welcome.
Morning. So the way the program basically works is we establish some criteria that we want to have that allows lots to be in the program. So we established that there's roughly 2,000 lots that are in the program, give or take, 100 here or there. So in that criteria, we notice every one of those property owners that they have their annual weed abatement is due and needs to take place. Of that, we set a guideline and a date for them to finish those, their cutting, and we have to give property owners their chance to hire their own contractor or to get out there and do it with themselves. We have to give them that chance. That date this year was July 22nd. And July 22nd, we go out and inspect all the lots that are left in the program. We work hand in hand with a couple of contractors here in town that give their lots to me ahead of time, telling me what they've done, and I go inspect those at the same time. So obviously, right around July 22nd, you saw a lot of fire equipment running around on every street in Cambria, and that's because the crews and I were out doing all the inspections. We inspected roughly all 2,000 lots in a matter of a couple of days. Then we take all that information, put it into the computer, and it gives us the lots that are left, the lots that didn't pass. So we also work with the contractors, like I said, people give them a call late in the program or stuff that they haven't completed yet, and they give me a list of stuff that I'm going to hold them responsible for doing. So those are removed out of the program list. So out of those 2,000 lots, we're down to like the 147, I think it is, or right around 150, 150 lots that are going to contract this year. So today, before you, is the list that's left of the lots that haven't been accounted for. And that is, so you can approve for us to hire a contractor to get out there and take care of those lots. And it has to be approved for you, through you guys, because there is trespassing issues and stuff like that that legally have to be taken care of, that I'm sure council can get further in depth on than I can. So what, and then we give our contractor 1 month to complete that process, depending on how many lots there are. This year, at roughly 150 lots, I believe it's actually down from last year. Last year we had a pretty big spike in the program, and down to about 150, 125 to 150 is generally the average that we've had from year to year. And I think last year we had a pretty good spike, but it's nice to know that we're kind of down to about average this year.
Good. So, and you said we have 2,000 lots where this involves about 2,000 lots.
It's roughly
about 2,000.
We're down
to around 150, so we're actually below 10% that you have to follow up with.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a handful that I'm following up with just on the contractor side, but they're only a handful. And those are the local contractors that come to us and say, hey, I got July 21st, someone contracted with me to do this lot. Here's the lot numbers. And then I follow through with the contractors on the completing of that.
Thank you. And General Manager Gruber, I think you had something to add?
Well, there's just a misprint, and I apologize for that.
A misprint?
I like the word misprint instead of mistake.
It sounds, yes.
Misprint where it says 265 in the staff report, but
it was a computer.
If you look at the list, it's 127. So, engineer is correct. It is 127. So
127. Okay.
And I stand behind the misprint.
Yeah, not bad. And misprints happen. Okay. Anything before we open this for public comment from staff report? Anything from staff? Okay, then thank you very much. And so we will now move to any public comments or objections on this item. So Vice President Thompson, first we have, I think, to speak on this is Laura Schwartz. And so Laura, would you please come forward? Good morning.
Good morning, board and staff and all our other Cambrians. Okay. How can I start here? The thing is, I only have one problem. I'm totally fire safe, as everybody knows, and on the Forest Committee, and we respect that. The problem that I'm having is on the five, that C part, where they want to do it on the seasonal and put it on a permanent list. Okay, and that's where I'm having a little problem. It seems like it's really good public practice to have a hearing like we're having now and not just take some of the lots once they fail the first time, is to put them on a lifelong list that they don't have to have a hearing again, because sometimes you need time to work out the differences or misunderstandings. So that's what I'm saying. And the problem is also, last year we had a contractor that did the lots, and the public in the forest is kind of at mercy at this appointed contractor because we're relying upon him. And last year's contractor stood on my porch with my husband there, and he was working in a conservation area, and he told me that habitat, he didn't care about habitat. He said that, and I asked him, I says, may I quote you on that? And he just looked at me. So I'm quoting him on that. So we need to be really careful on the contractor that we pick to do this weed abatement, to keep, you know, because it's important for the forest and also for the conservation. So that's my concern, is by putting it on this seasonal and permanent list, instead of having hearings like we do now, and to be very careful about the contractor that we do pick. And of course, I'm on the Forest Committee, and my suggestion, one suggestion would be, is to have the Forest Committee have a little bit of input on who the contractor is. Just, that's my opinion. Anyhow, thank you for letting me speak, and please don't put it on that seasonal thing, because that's a lifelong list, and once you're on a list, you don't get off the list, and you might have ownership change or whatever, but that's the part that I was having problem with, is that permanent list. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and perhaps before we go on, then, I would just like a little bit of response on that, and this would be with legal counsel Carmel. Talk to us about the permanent list. Is that correct that once you kind of either for whatever your circumstances might be, you didn't get your weeds during our time frame to get them, and so then we do take over and help out that year, is that a permanent list then forever? Forever is a very long time, but...
We do have language in the resolution that talks about recurrent weeds and offers up an abbreviated process. We don't utilize that process. It's sort of protective language, just in case. It's been there for many years, and to my knowledge, we've always gone through the public hearing process. It offers up an abbreviated process that really just uses a postcard instead of the process that we're using now. But as far as I know, and maybe the engineer can clarify this if I'm wrong, we never utilize that process. We go through the full public hearing process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because it would be then if someone didn't do it for whatever circumstances one year and we needed to help, they're on sort of a watch list or something, but as long as they're still the next year doing theirs within the time frame, then they're fine.
That's right. It's a less costly process, and it involves no public hearings, so you reduce a lot of the staff costs involved. But again, we don't utilize that process. It's just it's surplus language that's included. It's Section 3 of the resolution, if you want me to read it. But again, we don't utilize that process.
Okay. Well, we like that's good clarification. And then also, I wanted to hear a little bit from our contracted person on the habitats. Because, of course, you know, that raises for all of us, I think, living here, interest and concern. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the contractor probably surveys, should be walking the lot, seeing if there's any, habitat areas that need to be protected?
Well, first, the contractors have to go, before they go into the bidding process, they have to have certain licenses and qualifications to even put in for that. One of them happens to be a certified person for local plants and native plant vegetation that is not fire hazard, so they don't remove it. Because obviously they don't want to be running into with a tractor and removing saplings or sapling pines or oaks, because those are precious. We need to keep that in our community. So there are certain things that they have to qualify for. One is having that license. One is having that class and the ability to do that. Others, the stuff is like holding a bond issue, insurance issues, and stuff like that. So there's one aspect that's covered. Two, every year we send out a weed abatement. On our weed abatement notice, it says what is qualified, what has to be removed. It says that all pampas grass, all seasonal grasses have to be cut to be 4 inches. All stuff has to be limbed up to remove the ladder fuels between the ground fuels and the canopy and the trees. So there's certain criteria that they have to follow. And every year we always get people that say, yeah, it's the natural habitat is being disrupted. But if you look, for example, on some of the fire breaks that we've done in the town, once you've relieved some of the forest of some of that overgrowth, it actually brings in habitat. It actually brings in a lot more animals and a lot more stuff because there's more entry, more sunlight, and more ability to get growth in there. So, they have to have that class. Two, a lot of times you're just removing the fuels that are readily burnable and cause the fire hazard like pampas grass or scotch broom or the seasonal grasses. So there is checks and balances on following up on them, making sure they're not removing too much. Every year we catch some of the crews that are removing a little too much, and we go talk to them and say, hey, you need to stop doing that. Sometimes we have to go back and say, hey, you need to remove a little more. Stuff didn't happen the way what we needed to happen. So there is a check and balance in there, and that's primarily what my job is, to make sure that they're doing it appropriately and removing the right types and the right amount of vegetation.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No?
Okay.
Let's see. Do we have some more on public comment?
No. I just wanted to, General Manager Gruber gave me some figures. For 2014, there were 120 lots abated. There were 265 last year, and this year we're back down to 127. So that answers that question in terms of what we're actually down from the spike last year.
That's good. That's quite a drop again. Yeah,
Madam
so that's
President,
very
that's
positive.
That's where the 265 came in the staff report. We apologize for that. So if you can compare those, as you indicated, we are down significantly.
Significant drop. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a credit, I think, to our Camerons and lot owners, and we appreciate that. Okay, so we have no more requests for conversation or protest or objections on this or other information that's been related. So I'm going to close the public hearing, and we will move forward then with adopting the resolution. If you'd like.
Perhaps I can make a motion.
Yes.
That we adopt Resolution 33-2016, ordering abatement of public nuisance for fire hazard fuel reduction program.
Okay. It has been moved.
Second the motion.
And seconded by Director Sanders. Further discussion from the board? Any other things to add to it? Okay, ready for the motion? Let's have a roll call.
Director Barringer?
Aye.
Director Sanders?
Yes.
Vice President Thompson?
Aye.
President Robinette?
Yes. Okay. Motion passes 4-0. Okay, then, without further ado, thank you all for attending. Nice to see everyone, and the meeting is adjourned.